Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Julie. We human beings are natural-born storytellers. And we tell ourselves and each other all kinds of stories. And sometimes we even help one another tell stories. For instance, my grandson gave me this mug, which tells me, world's greatest grandpa. Well, that may or may not be true, but it's a story I like to hear. Our stories may even be stories that were once true for us that might no longer be true. As a four-year-old child comparing myself to adults, my story was that I was little and I was weak. Yet if I pull that story out and tell it to myself today, as an adult, it just makes me feel little and weak. It's not a story that fits my current identity. Some stories change. Some stories stay the same, keeping the same structure and the same words that we heard as in our childhood. For instance, you may have heard as a child, "Oh, you're too little, you can't do that yet." And of course, we may have retained that story into our adulthood and frame it in the words of, "I'm not enough, I can't do that." Sometimes it is helpful for us to look at our stories to see what we are telling ourselves. Every good story, as my wife will attest, has behind it a great editor. And so the stories that we tell ourselves could use some editing in our lives to make them maybe fit our paradigm a little bit better. I think one of the reasons that we come to Unity is because right here we gain skills and techniques to be a better editor of our stories. When I was quite a bit younger, I was introduced to the concept of journaling, and I attended a weekend workshop on the technique called intensive journaling. And part of that process is you're invited to look at your life and break it into concrete time periods and give each one a name. And they call these stepping stones. And the stepping stone, well, I was quite a bit younger. So my stepping stones at the time included things like childhood and theater and Wicca and family, because I was just starting one, and bread earner, because I was newly married. And today, I would look at my life and I would separate my stepping stones quite differently, partly because I've lived longer. But the underlying story that I tell myself would probably largely be the same. Now, it was very interesting in this intensive journaling process that as you dialogue with your stepping stones, sometimes you find that the stories that you took out of that time period are very different than the stories that the stepping stone held for that time period. The stepping stone would have a completely different take, a different understanding of the meaning of that time period for my own life. It was especially true of my childhood period, although it was not exclusive to it. But I found that if I wanted to enrich my story, that I needed to do some editing. I had to rewrite. Now, I've been in Unity long enough, and I've been exposed to enough books and writers that all make the same claim that I understand the words for a rewrite to be something like, you are the author of your life. Take charge of your life. let that creator free, don't become a victim. And we do. We use tools like visualization and vision boards and affirmations and all kinds of different techniques, and we try to create a life that we think will make us happy. Now, you have probably, like me, have at one point or another in your life created things like parking spaces and trips to different places, and sometimes more abundance, sometimes a new relationship, sometimes a new job. You know, it can go on and on. And my experience has been that sometimes I feel like it works really great, and sometimes I feel like I just kind of missed the mark. So I would suggest that our personal storyline is really not about more and more, but about making a fundamental transformation in our understanding of what we are. Changing our understanding about what we are. When we have a deep understanding of an inner truth, I believe that our focus changes from making shifts, making changes in life circumstances, to really actualizing the spiritual potential that we all have. There is an inner life force, an inner author, if you will, that's working within each one of us right now. It calls us to evolve beyond our current understanding into being the light of spirit that we truly are. I want to illustrate that. This idea of the shift of focus when we have an inner shift of understanding by applying it to the story of the universe. So, you are probably very aware of the concept of the Big Bang. Cosmologists place the Big Bang at about 13.7 billion years ago. Now, I love to really get into the idea of the time span that this involves. So, if you would say that a long human life was 100 years, it would take 137 million lifetimes of that length put end to end to end to encompass the length of time that it has been, the universe has been existing since the advent of the Big Bang. Now that's a lot of time. And cosmologists separate the lifespan of the universe into three distinct areas. They call the very early universe, the early universe, and then the universe of stars. Now, that very early universe is when everything is still energy and particles, and not even an atom is formed yet. And that very early universe, right after the Big Bang, lasted all of 3 minutes. But after that 3 minute time period, we entered the early universe stage. And this is when all those particles start collecting into atoms. And eventually you have the very simple atoms of hydrogen and helium formed. And this period of forming atoms and then atoms clumping together and all lasts about 380 million years. Pretty good length of time. But it's only after that time that the very first star is born. And the birth of that star happens when enough of the hydrogen helium gases collect into a dense ball that it ignites and thermal nuclear reaction happens. And so for fission. So that is the beginning of the universe of stars. And we needed two cycles of stars being born and burning out and being born again and burning out to make enough heavy elements, the elements that make up things like planets and us, to have those created. So we're in the third wave of star stuff in the galaxy of stars. 13.7 billion years. That's a long time. And it was 406 billion years ago that our planet was first formed. So again, going back to this idea of stacking 100-length lives, one upon top of another, cosmologists would say that it would take 46 million lifetimes of 100 years to make that 4.6 billion years of time that the Earth has been forming and existing. Life first appeared on this globe, we think, about 3.8 billion years ago. And at this time, the Earth had very minimal oxygen. And so this first life form in the oceans, this first cellular animal, was blue-green algae. And blue-green algae, as a byproduct of its photosynthesis process, creates oxygen, which is really great because over a period of about 2.8 billion years, it created enough oxygen that oxygen-breathing life forms like us could exist. But there was a downside because blue-green algae finds oxygen to be a poison, a toxin. And so that which it created eventually killed it. And it was one of the first mass extinctions that died out to create a new life beyond it. About 600 million years ago, simple animals evolved in the oceans. And 475 million years ago, land plants first showed up. And then 400 million years ago, insects. And 300 million years ago, reptiles. And of course, the dinosaurs. 200 million years ago, mammals. And hominids. Hominids evolved about 2.5 million years ago. And Homo sapiens, our earliest ancestors, first showed up in that modern human form about 200,000 years ago. 200,000 seems like a long time, but that's really only 5,000th of 1% of the length of time that the universe has been in existence since the Big Bang. Almost not even the beginning of a breath. Now, the story of the universe, this story can be told and it can be understood as chance evolution, with the result that we are here simply by luck and by happenstance. But there is another story. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin was a Jesuit priest who was also a geologist and a paleontologist, and he lived and worked in the early 20th century. And he postulated that the universe is simply a means for evolving consciousness. That all evolution is focused toward what he calls the omega point, a level of complexity beyond anything we can imagine. And Teilhard's story, his story of the evolution of the universe, he argues that at each stage of development, the universe increases in complexity. So it increases in the complexity of matter, from particles to atoms to complex molecules, and it keeps increasing in complexity until finally it's complex enough that life is born. And then life starts increasing in complexity until it gets to the point to where life can become conscious. Then it keeps increasing in complexity of consciousness until life becomes self-aware. And that's where we find ourselves today, at self-aware consciousness. He says that the next stage of evolution is that consciousness will expand to increase, to become one with what this point that he calls the Omega point, this vast, complex consciousness. Now, unity would simply say, well, the next step then is the cosmic Christ consciousness that is all of us becoming one with our divine source. And so our divine source becomes the Omega point. Now, our Hindu friends would just kind of smile and roll their eyes and say, oh, well, of course, we've believed in a self-aware universe for over 4,000 years. We are God stuff, simply playing and experiencing life in all of its many forms and its many possibilities. My point is that it is the story that we tell ourselves that makes a difference in how we live our lives. We can tell ourselves the story of a soulless, random universe, or we can tell a story of an intentional consciousness that imbues the universe with everything from a loving, beneficent author. The stories we tell ourselves make a difference. We can believe in an uncaring universe, and if we do so, we probably react out of fear. Or we can see ourselves as part of the divine energy that is forming and creating all that is, and then we come from an inner place of love. It is the same physical condition that we find ourselves in. The only difference is in the meaning in the story that we tell ourselves. If we believe the universe is loving, we respond in love. If we think the universe is uncaring, we respond with fear. We give the circumstances of our lives the meaning that they have for us. And what we focus on, we create. Pam Grout, who's sitting in our congregation this morning, is a New York Times bestselling author. She wrote the book E-Cubed that our book study groups are right now involved with studying and exploring. And she's part of this community, for which we are very grateful. But she writes in her book, in a chapter called the Simon Cowell Corollary, and I want to share a passage. She writes, "We all have stories. Like the Brothers Grimm, we retell these stories to everyone who will listen. I have trouble sleeping. I hate to exercise. I have never been organized. But these stories are not any more true except to the degree that you have repeated them and made them your personal calling card. They're not any more true than their opposites." Or a whole series of other stories that you could create. Pam writes at the very beginning of that chapter that we need to adopt a new worldview that she calls Worldview 2.0. She says, "Nothing is absolute. Only my thinking makes it so." So let me say that again. Nothing is absolute. Only my thinking makes it so. Claim that with me. Nothing is absolute. Only my thinking makes it so. You are brave. The creative power of our thought is especially evident in the stories that we tell ourselves. And I believe that it starts with what we believe ourselves to be. Do we believe that we're simply a physical body? If we do, then probably we see the universe as a random event that has no ultimate meaning. Or do we believe that we are spiritual beings having an embodiment in the physical experience, And if we believe that our true nature is spirit, then we probably believe that the universe is loving and that there is an author to which we are connecting. We are challenged in this chapter by Pam to flip around a long-held belief, to find evidence that the contrary side of the story is true. So I want to read her challenge to us. This is our challenge this week. In this experiment, you're going to pick up an old story and you're going to flip it. You're going to take a reality that you have believed that is absolute fact, and you're going to actively look for its opposite. Now, I know you're thinking of something. If not, maybe some of these falsehoods that I used to repeat about myself and have since rewritten, thank you very much, might give you some ideas. I'm not that comfortable at parties. I've never been that great at relationships. I sometimes suffer from depression. It really doesn't matter. It simply has to be something that you've repeatedly said and believed about yourself. You pick an identity that you've worn like a pair of favorite jeans, and you're going to rewrite it. And during this week, look for evidence of the new reality, of your new story. And you're going to have to actively look for signs, any fragment or pottery shard that the opposite of your original statement, that up until now you have believed that the opposite is true. In other words, if our old story has been based in fear and limitation, then we want to write a new one based in love and abundance. And then if we actively look for evidence that our new story of love and abundance is true and valid, Pam says we will find it. For reality is not reality until we think and believe it. In an online blog that I discovered by Anthony Fernando, he sums up this whole concept in these words. The pen is in your hand, and the pages ahead are blank, just waiting for you to create the story. The chapters that have made up your story to the present point have no impact whatsoever on the chapters waiting to be written. What will happen in the next chapter? What will the next part of your life contain? Will it contain adventure, action, romance? It is up to you to decide. He says, if you ever get bogged down in trying to find yourself or discover your purpose in life, consider this, that God, or universal mind, has given each of us the freedom to create our lives in any way we desire. We truly have the freedom to write our own story. So if you're faced with major setback, you have to decide whether your story will be a story of perseverance and triumph or a story of submission and failure. You decide. Dare to dream. Namaste. Polly's